chapter 3, verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Show of hands, who has heard that verse before? If you say, "Oh, Brother AJ, of course I've heard that verse before. I've grown up in church. I know that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Whenever we think about things being upside down, there's a lot of stories in the Bible where people's lives were turned upside down. Because you ever hear grown-ups or adults say, "Oh, my world has just been turned upside down." That would be like if something really bad, if something really weird happened. Let's say that they lose a job, or let's say something really good happens, like their mother-in-law is coming into town. They would say, "Oh, my world has just been turned upside down." It means everything's gone into chaos. Everything is now crazy. Whereas it's supposed to be normal, now it's weird. Things are upside down. I think about Jonah in the Bible. Here he was, he's running away from God to get to a safe place, right? But he ends up in a fish's belly. That's weird. That's upside down. That is not what he planned on. It was an upside down experience. Also, you think about David and Goliath. Have you ever thought about it from Goliath's standpoint? I mean, here he is, he's the biggest guy around, he's the victor, he's the champion. And he shows up, and this little guy named David, through the power of God, throws a rock at his head, and he's dead like that. His world was turned upside down. It was turned crazy in just a second. But you know, one of the biggest experiences in the Bible of things being turned upside down, of things being turned weird, was in the Garden of Eden. Do you realize in the Garden of Eden that things were absolutely perfect? I mean, they were perfect. Whenever God designed creation and everything that it entails, everything that's in the world, it was absolutely perfect. That means Adam and Eve were perfect. He was the only perfect dude around. He was the only dude around. Eve was the perfect woman. They were exactly the way God intended for them to be. But, you know the story, God gave them one rule. Gave them one rule. He said, "Over here, you have every single tree you can imagine, and you can eat freely. Eat, it's like a buffet. Eat all the fruit that you want. But at this one tree, I don't want you eating from that tree." And as the story goes, that's where Adam and Eve went. They went and they ate that fruit. And from that moment, listen. Did you realize in the Garden of Eden, you didn't have to lock your doors? I mean, whenever you left your house, you could leave your doors unlocked. You could leave your doors wide open. I mean, you could run through the forest and not worry about stepping on a thorn because there were no thorns around. It was perfect. In the Garden of Eden, there was lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And you could run and then jump on one and ride it through town. That'd be pretty cool, huh? I want to show up to VBS and I'm coming here riding on a bear. You say, "Oh, brother, that's pretty sweet." They could do it. They could do that in the Garden of Eden. But the second they sinned, the second they disobeyed God, their entire world became upside down. Now, all of a sudden, instead of being able to leave your doors wide open, you have to lock your doors. You have to protect all your stuff. Why? Because people that are bigger than you can come in and steal it. Now, the way the world is, if you're mad at somebody, people go out and they simply just say, "I don't like you, I'm mad at you," and they can kill them right on the spot. It wasn't that way in the Garden of Eden. But sin turned things upside down. Upside down. Do you realize that sin still does that today? Because here's why. Everybody, look up here. Over here, this is God's standard. What God says, this is what my standard is. This is what I want you to be. This is what I want the world to be. But because we are sinners, because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," we naturally don't go God's way. In fact, we naturally run the other way. It's backwards. It's opposite. It is upside down. Now, if that's the case, and that's true, then over here, all of God's blessings, all of the way God intended for things to be, we don't go that way. We go the opposite way. The opposite way. Why? For all have sinned. For all have sinned. Now, when we hear that, we say, for all have sinned. Okay, it's nothing tricky there. For all have sinned. Now, the word all means everybody. Every single person is a sinner. But we don't always understand it that way. We don't always think about it clearly. So to help try to illustrate this and show you where we're wrong in thinking, I've asked a couple of men to come up here and help me. So I have Brother Lamar, Brother Chip, Brother David, and I need one more person. How about Alex? Can you help me? So, in this case of being sinners, I have chosen out of the audience the three perfect examples of what sinners are tonight. Now, look at these fine examples up here. We have what, okay, by the way, I need to preface this. Every single person in this room is going to fall into one of these categories. Okay? There's no exception. There's no, oh, I'm definitely not that, definitely not that, definitely not that. No, you're going to fall into one or the other. Now, if you can try to remember this tonight, there will be candy, there will be candy thrown, there will be money passed out, maybe. If you can remember these words, okay? The first sinner that we have represented tonight is called the bold sinner. The bold sinner. He's the one that says, I'm a sinner, I sin, that's what I do, and I'm going to do it. Whenever he's 5 years old, he says, Mom, Dad, I can't wait to get out of the house so I can get a tattoo. Actually, I'm going to get it while I'm in the house because that's what I want to do. That's how I want to live. Anything he wants to do, he goes out and does it. I want that car. I'm going to go out and steal it. And you know what? Not even ashamed of it. Why? Because he's bold. He's bold. Listen, there's no apology here. I know I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. I just can't help it. No, he's bold. So we're going to put Brother Chip way down here. All right, so remember, where's God's standard? Over there. So here's Brother Chip, the bold sinner, way over here, right? And then we have Brother Lamar. Brother Lamar's right here in the middle. You notice he's wearing PJs to church? How many of you noticed that before I pointed that out? Yeah. Wearing PJs to church? He thought, oh, Brother Lamar finally went over the edge. Brother Lamar would be what we would call the lazy sinner. All right? So he's not bold. He's not out there cussing just because he wants to cuss. But he's the sinner that whenever somebody comes to him, his authority, and says, hey, Brother Lamar, I want you to do this. He'll say, okay, I don't really feel like it, but I'll do it. And then he does a terrible, terrible job. He's the one whenever his mom says, I want you to go, I want you to clean up your room. He might say, oh, I don't know how. He's lazy. So he's not saying, no, I won't clean my room. There's absolutely no way, Mom, that I'm going to clean my room. He's saying, I don't want to. I'm not in the mood. He's lazy. He's lazy. Is everybody picturing this? Yeah. All right, so we have two sinners. Here's God's standard way, way over there. And actually, I probably should have done this sooner. But we're going to use the Bible to represent God's standard. All right, that's a pretty good example, actually. So the Bible is God's standard. Alex, come over here. Over here, we have what God said I want you to be. So just hold this up. Your arms might get tired, but just, this is God's standard, right? Here's Brother Chip, way at that end, and a little bit closer is Brother Lamar. He's not bad, but he's lazy. And then we have Brother David. Brother David, I haven't given you this yet, but he's the nice sinner. He's way over here, way over here. So I don't know how this is going to work, but you have to wear that some way. Brother David is the sinner. Whenever whenever his mom comes to him and says, David, I want you to clean your room, he says, yes, mommy, I would love to. Would you like a foot massage? Anything I can do for you. He'll show up to church early just to straighten the chairs, just to make sure that all the diapers are taken out of the nursery. Why? Because he's nice. He's the nice sinner. And so here's how we view it. Here's how we picture it. We have the bold sinner way down there, way far away from God's word. We have the lazy sinner who's not bold. He's not way down there with that guy, but he's also not very close at the same time. And then we have the nice sinner. The sinner that even though he's a sinner, he still does bad things. He's as close as he can be to God's word. Now, if I were honest with you, I would say I've thought exactly this way. Not only that, listen, I haven't just thought that way. I haven't just thought that that's how people are. That's how I've tried to live. That's how Brother AJ, I've had situations of all three where I've been the bold sinner, I've been the lazy sinner, and I've been the nice sinner. And for a lot of my life, especially when you grow up in church, especially whenever you start coming to VBS as a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old, you see, okay, listen, I've seen how it goes for this guy. I've seen that he's usually the one that's going to end up in prison. He's usually the one that's going to have a lot of debt. And I've seen what ends up with this guy. Doesn't do very much for his life. But over here, whenever you're nice, whenever you do things right, things seem to go a lot easier for you. Doesn't it? I mean, think about it. You all have siblings. Who out of these three got the most spankings whenever they were growing up? It's just how it was. Well, I don't like, Brother AJ, I don't like spankings. So, you're the nice rebel. The nice sinner. This is how we see it. But let me show you how it really is. All three of you, come to where Brother Chip is at. It doesn't matter if you're the boldest sinner on the planet. It doesn't matter if you're the laziest sinner on the planet. Listen, kids, it doesn't matter if you are the absolute nicest sinner on the planet. When the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, in God's eyes, in God's standard, there's no difference. And well, this guy is not as bad a sinner as that guy. There's no, they almost made it to my standard. In God's eyes, this is the standard, and nobody has made it. They're all over here. You say, Brother AJ, but you don't understand. I have tried every single day for years. I'm 7 years old, and I've tried my entire life to live for God. I've tried my entire life to obey my parents and bring my Bible to church and learn memory verses. For crying out loud, I learned memory verses instead of playing the game outside. But you know how God looks at you? He says, all have sinned. All are separated from me. It doesn't matter what you do. The Bible says that our works, our righteousness, is as filthy rags. That means the nicest person, the best thing that they can do is have filthy, dirty rags. That's the same as having a dirty Band-Aid. How many of you have taken a Band-Aid off your skin and then you see all the glory that is there? Is that attractive at all? No, it's disgusting. And God says the best you are, the very best that you are, is you're over here in the same category as everyone else. So thank you, guys. You can all be seated. And what God wants you to see, what God wants you to understand, is before anything in your life can be right side up, before anything in your world can be right, can be the way God designed it, first you have to see yourself the way God sees you. You can't sit here and say, God, I'm a nice person. Doesn't matter. Or, God, I know I'm kind of a lazy person. I know that I don't really have a lot of fire to do things for you, but I'm not nearly as bad as that guy. It doesn't matter. No matter where you are in this world, in this life, no matter how old you are, we were all born sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, listen, this is the most important part. The bad news is there's a penalty, there's a payment that comes with sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. and not just, okay, someday we're all going to die, whether it be from an accident or whether from old age, but no, it means death, it means an eternity apart from God, and a place called hell. Now, the last thing I want to ever do is be up here and try to scare kids and manipulate you and say, oh, you better come forward. But at the same time, if I'm not honest, if I don't say what the Bible says, I'd be doing an injustice. Because even though the world looks at kids and teenagers and say, oh, they're just little angels, the truth is, we're sinners. The truth is, we're all rebels. We've all ran away from God, and we are wrong. We are wrong. Now, the theme for this week is upside down. There's going to be five nights. There's going to be five messages where we talk about things being upside down and being turned right side up, being right with God. And some of you might be sitting there tonight saying, oh, Brother AJ, I know exactly what you're talking about. I know that I'm a sinner. Listen, I don't have to sit here and try to really convince you of, listen, I know you don't think you're a sinner, but you are. Let me persuade you. Listen, if you've told a lie, the Bible says not to lie. You're a sinner. The Bible says thou shalt not steal. If you've stolen even a penny, the Bible says you miss God's mark. You're over there. Sinner. We've all sinned. The good news, and this is what we're going to talk about a lot tomorrow night and more throughout the week, is there was one person, there was one man who never sinned. He never went over there with the other rebels. He never was even the best nice sinner. No, he wasn't a sinner at all. His name was Jesus Christ. And because of what he did, listen, he did a work so that every single person that's over here, every single person that is a rebel, a sinner, no matter how nice, no matter how bad, they can go back to what God had planned for them. They can be right with God through Jesus Christ. So what I encourage you to do, if you're sitting there tonight and you say, Brother AJ, I know that I've sinned. Brother AJ, that penalty thing you're talking about, this place called hell, I don't want to experience that. Listen, I was 8 years old, and I was doing devotions with my family whenever I realized I'm on my way to hell. I'm a sinner. And my dad pulled me aside, and he showed me how I could ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins and to be right with him, to be right side up. But before we get there, we have to lay the groundwork. We have to get this foundation laid of we're all upside down. We are all upside down. I'm not as upside down as that guy. No. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, everybody bow your head, close your eyes. The message tonight was short and simple, but that's because all week long, we're going to talk about how God's plan for your life is not to let you stay a sinner who is separated from Him for all of eternity. God's plan for your life is to not let you stay upside down and let your life become an absolute mess because you are a sinner. God's plan for your life is to, I'm going to use a big $5 word on you, it's to restore you. To bring you back across the floor, back to what He intended for you to be. But listen, if somebody were drowning in the ocean and they didn't know it, you couldn't go out and save them. You have to know that you're drowning. You have to know that you are in trouble before you can ask for help. And if nothing else gets accomplished tonight, I want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, listen, I have fallen short. I have sinned. I am upside down. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to listen.